Popeye the Polymorph. About this time, Blackstone and his men were on the trail of a man with a squint who called himself Mr. Popeye, but whose real name was unknown. Mr. Popeye's attitude was said to be a man or a woman or a hole in a board. It's all the same to me. Mr. Popeye was certainly a troublemaker and no ornament to the community. He liked to throw soot on light-colored clothes and theater or evening mantles. In no fewer than 25 cases had he damaged the wardrobes of ladies walking past in this manner. He is well punished for these crimes, I can assure you, to the full extent of the law. Mr. Popeye, I'm afraid, was a masturbator, using a pocket electrification gadget, imported, impotent at 18, met one day in the street a nurse with a white apron like those he liked a lot, could not resist the temptation to steal the apron. He took it home and masturbated in it, and then burnt it while masturbating anew. He went back up the street, saw a woman in a white dress, and came on the pleasurable idea of soiling it with ink. Did this in a state of very pleasurable excitement, and proceeded homewards masturbating every step of the way. On the way, he saw some woman in the street and was seized with an itch to damage her clothes with a penknife. In the event, he was arrested on suspicion of being a pickpocket. Throughout the trial, he masturbated continually and was given 2 years breaking stones. It was not just his masturbation which identified this madman with Mr. Hydewhite, but also his love of animals. One day he was found in a stall on a farm with nothing on but a shirt. He denied any unnatural chastity, but admitted that he kissed the calves. A week later, Mr. Blackstone was walking along the country road and happened to hear some squeals come from somewhere. He saw this man with a squint catching a goose and addressing himself to the animal in a naughty way, till enter Mr. Blackstone. To the latter's reproach, he said, "Well, have I done the goose any harm?" and ran off. The neighbors told Mr. Blackstone that he had from the very beginning an unappeasable urge for copulation. Immediately after his wedding, he'd begun to practice unchastity with young lads, too, and this of late had grown more acute. Furthermore, he had intercourse with a bitch, a sheep, and almost daily with a sow. He copulated with ducks, hens, later on with horses and cows. During this time, he felt very shamefaced in the presence of women, and pulling out his taco in front of them seems to him almost a sin. He was always complaining of headaches, insomnia, and thoughts. When he was asked what he was doing, he would say, "I'm thinking, thinking, thinking." He was a very dull conversationalist, as all he wished to talk about was sleep and his tiny penis, and now and then his religious paranoia accompanied by states of ecstasy. At 27, he began drinking. And walking down a country road one day, he saw boys cutting the fool with a dog. He followed their example, and thereafter could not refrain from cutting the fool with dogs, cats, and rabbits. Far more frequently, he abused female rabbits, the only animals that had a charm for him. When night fell, he was wont to take himself to the rabbit hutch in order to take out his taco and watch the sunset with drooping lids. Rabbits were repeatedly found with their rectum torn open. As for Popeye, after this last affair with the rabbits, he walked all day and night, and at dawn, seeing the Santa Maria come in, he swam out to meet her, longing so to be gone. He swam out in sleek, immense strokes. He gave one the feeling that he was not swimming, but drinking its contents. I imagined as I watched him that he had a colossal thirst. He threw himself on board and lay there panting, like some mighty animal he could become with ease. With a huge appetite, insomnia, and immense eyes, soaking with joy in the warm ooze of an African riverside. Then the white sails spread out their wings to the breeze, and the sailors curl their way up to the top. The whole deck in his eyes opens up in white sails like some immense flower. The sunlight illuminates the white sheets like the almost human skin of a leaf and makes it difficult to gaze too long. The sailors stand at the sides and look out at the port, fading away, their great black capes and hoods billow goodbye. Then they set backs to the work, turn cranes and whip cords till everything moves in rhythm to the waves. The capes and the cowls, the silk of the sails, all billow in the varnished floors that rise and fall. all have in his eyes an extremely shined and varnished surface, polished as though thoroughly scoured pewter or brass in Flemish paintings. Then the ship moves into the deep sea, and the sails, like the birds, are caught up in the free winds of heaven.